morning around the home. Mina Kimes, Sarah Spain, and Pablo Torre, truly, madly, deeply in his savage garden. I love it, Pablo. The first word goes to Cam Jordan today on Get Up. How he feels about Drew Brees coming back. Pretty good, as one would. And also, as one knows, the division has now added a guy named Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. Well, that doesn't impress Jordan much, because he has Brees. And he asks a question that I'm going to ask you guys. Is Tom Brady without Bill Belichick? Mina, what you say now will be documented for history forever. I have receipts once you say this, and I'll ask it 10 more times, so I'll have like a CBS receipt. But who do you got in 2020? Drew Brees or Tom Brady? And what do you think of what Jordan said about Brady?
Who? You got to go with Brees. Any way you slice it, he's been a better quarterback recently. You could say Tom Brady was in a more difficult situation in terms of the lack of weapons, offensive line injuries last year. But over the last three seasons, Tony, Drew Brees ranks second QBR, first in passer rating. Brady is 10th and 16th. Now, I do think Brady is going to be good this year because he is walking into a better situation. So I actually think Cameron Jordan's quote's not going to age well because Brady's going to look better without Belichick, even though it has nothing to do with Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm. Pablo Torre, you can answer either question here. Who you got, Brees or Brady? And what do you think of Jordan saying what he said about Brady, questioning Brady?
Give me the Bucs as a team over the Saints as a team. Give me Brees over Brady individually. But I am mostly here for the pettiness and the potential therein, Tony, because over this next season, we're going to get two quarterbacks angling for the career record in touchdown passes. Brees is currently number one, six ahead of Brady. I just want the Saints to be as petty as possible when they are trading spots. Both teams, they should be stopping games, bringing out the weird Denny's placard with like a number on it. I want that every single time in this rivalry.
That's enough, Pablo. We're not doing that every game because they alternate the record. Sarah Spain, join
every game.
Yeah, I mean, for Pablo to pick the Bucs over the Saints requires you to believe a lot of things, that a 43-year-old quarterback still has the skill, that the offensive line can protect him, that the Bucs will figure out the running back position that they haven't yet and allow some depth to that offense. They got a ton of weapons, but they need to be able to establish the run too, especially with Brady's immobility. And then just learning a whole new system after two decades somewhere else. I think it's going to be a fun challenge, but I'm taking Brees as a quarterback and I'm taking the Saints as a team. And I think it's totally fine to ask what we're all asking. Who is Belichick without Brady and who's Brady without Belichick? That's
you
a fair
think that's
thing to
a
say.
Fair question? All right. I'm going to reward that take. Give you a point, Sarah Spain. You're in the lead right now. We go to buy or sell. Buy or sell one is Jadeveon Clowney. He's working out in Houston. And I'm wondering whether you're buying that Clowney doesn't have a job right now. He told the local Fox affiliate in Houston he's ready and all those injuries he had last year are last year and he will be ready to go, is even open to returning to the Seahawks, so there's some question whether that's possible. Mina, maybe you could shed some light on that and buy or sell Clowney's position this offseason.
I'm buying it. I'm selling the idea that he doesn't have a job. I'm selling the idea that the Seahawks, who desperately need pass rush, aren't bringing him back, even though there are legitimate questions about his health. His pass rush productivity has waxed and waned over the years, and I do think that's contributing to why he doesn't have a big contract. But aside from Seattle, Cleveland could use him. Tennessee could use him. I'm surprised he doesn't have a deal yet.
Pablo?
I am also surprised, and I know he's inconsistent. I know he is oft injured, but if I'm Clowney, I am getting my agent and standing outside of Pete Carroll's house with a flat screen TV over my head that is just playing highlights of me against the 49ers in week 10. I had a touchdown. I had a fumble recovery, fumbled forced 10 disruptions of Jimmy G. I played like Godzilla in that game, and the Seahawks don't want me to do that potentially against my biggest rival, really?
Mm-hmm. Okay, and how about you, Sarah Spee?
I'm so tempted to sing Peter Gabriel right now, but I know the rules, so I'm going to stay away. I agree with
Peter,
both of them. I think he absolutely should be on the Seahawks. I think they could use him. I think the issue here is obviously how much money he thinks he deserves right now, and maybe how much teams are worried about the injuries and the durability. So maybe you get an incentives-laden contract where if he does the things he believes he can, he gets the money he wants, and if he doesn't, then the team doesn't feel like they've overspent. That might be the best way to go at this point.
You know, Pablo, you said it'd be a flat screen TV. We don't need that anymore. You just hand somebody a tablet like we saw with Jordan in The Last Dance, and then you create a meme. Mina Kimes gets the point then. But there's still time for you, Pablo. Buy or sell two is Tua. Look how clean this look is. Number one is New Jersey number with the Dolphins for a guy drafted 5, whose name is Tua, who wore 13 in college. Miami's 13, of course, for Reno. Pablo, buy or sell, that numbers matter. I know you have an interesting take here, so please give it to me.
Yeah, I don't really care about jersey numbers. I sell the notion that we are constantly sold jersey numbers because it feels like the big industrial complex is around jerseys. Do any of us really? I mean, I don't really pay attention to them. I know a couple of select historical ones, but like, I don't care what number you take. I don't care if two players have the same number as long as they can distinguish each other from each other on the field. Come on, really?
I completely agree, but here's why. It's because we've run out of numbers. So unless people start wearing 23 and a half or 185, we already know the people we associate with certain numbers. So like, it mattered to me when Jordan was 23 and Pip was 33. It doesn't matter to me who my favorite player wears now because I already associate someone with it. So we need new numbers, I guess.
Mina Kimes.
Well, we can do what, like Elon Musk's kid, right? Do like X, A, E, Alpha, 12 on a jersey. One is objectively the best quarterback number. I'm sorry. Like, good for Tua. You guys are wrong. One is definitively better than every other quarterback number. It looks awesome. Congrats to him. That's
slender.
A jersey I would buy.
You look very slender. I mean, it's Cancun. It's Warren Moon, I remember, was a good one. All right. Since you don't care about numbers, Pablo, you don't care that you have 0 points in the show, which means freeze them, smile with the photo. We have a ladies' showdown. Mina Kimes, Sarah Spain, let's go. Sarah, I'm not sure. I think you grew up in the Chicago area. I think you were a fan of Jordan. You should check out this documentary on Michael Jordan.
I've heard.
It's really good. It's really, really good. Also, what we're hearing now, Charles Barkley worried that he will never be able to repair the relationship with Jordan, and this rift, well, there's nothing he can do about it. Sarah, I'll start with you. Do you have any advice for repairing the Jordan-Barkley relationship or any relationship, really? Please, give it to us.
My advice for any relationship is to go genuinely and honestly to someone and say how much you care about them. But he's done that. And unfortunately, Mike looks real petty in this one. I don't know if it can be repaired.
Mm-hmm. Mina Kimes.
Wow. I agree. Look, this dates back to Charles criticizing Jordan over his, you know, GMing side, and Charles was right. Yeah. And if someone can't forgive you for being honest and transparent with them, it's not a relationship maybe that you want anyways.
Wow, this is news a lot of people are going to use, especially when in quarantine. By the way, I sourced this story from Sarah Spain's interview with Charles Barkley on her podcast. I guess that
That's
means
right.
Point goes to Sarah Spain. Good job on that, Sarah. And take 30 seconds of FaceTime, please.
Yeah, so yesterday was Cinco de Mayo. Many of us celebrated, and Adam Jones decided to celebrate with some tacos. They looked like almost a hamburger taco. There was some ground beef, some tomato, some ketchup. Yes, ketchup. That's what I said. And people were hating on him for it. It was like a burger taco. We make tacos out of everything. Stop condiment shaming people. And I don't care whether you're a taco expert. Let people do what they do, okay? Especially in quarantine. I was full-on no mayo person, team anti-mayo. Guess what? I mixed it with some salsa. I put it on a taco, and it was zesty and delicious. And now I've completely switched sides.
All right,
quarantine
all right.
Will do that to you.
I'll give you a credit, a point there that quarantine, anything could happen. People are eating all sorts of things during quarantine. But ketchup is a sin against nature. I say that as an Italian for the tomato. Well, I'll take a break right here. 23-hour, 50-minute break. Sarah, today's champion, and that's a direct hit on the paper toss. Give it up, SportsCenter.